Today on D&D Outdoors, Facebook's attack on hunting, the newest thing Facebook is doing to hunters, record gars, and what is going to happen with grizzly bear management throughout the West, and more. D&D Outdoors is brought to you by Southwestern Outdoorsman. Head on over to southwesternoutdoorsman.com to get your hunting gear and all your needs today. It's also brought to you by Headline Outdoors. Download Headline Outdoors on Roku or Fire TV and start enjoying the outdoors with hundreds of outdoor hunting and fishing episodes. And welcome back, everyone, to D&D Outdoors. Today on the show, we got some upcoming draw deadlines. Utah closes shed hunting. Facebook is coming after us as hunters and outdoorsmen, and much, much more. All part of the fun here. How are you doing today, Dustin?
One day at a time, man. One day at a time.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll just dive right into it here. Utah has, last week, has placed a shed hunting closure effective immediately running through April 30th. The main reason behind this is Utah thinks it's too cold this year. And because of that, they don't want people going to the shed hunting areas for deer and elk and disturb them, run them off their food sources and all of that while during this extreme cold, which I thought is really interesting. Because of that, the cold and all that, Utah has placed up to about 11 feeding locations for the deer in Rich County and Summit County that have like pellets and stuff to keep the deer, I guess, fed through the winter so they don't die off, which is really interesting considering about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we were having the opposite issue. If you remember when Arizona banned Game and Fish banned the trail cameras, it's because there's not enough water or moisture. So now we just have the opposite effect out here. I don't know, not one of those people that go out and shed hunt. I mean, I understand how it impacts people, especially people saying, well, you're letting hikers go out there, bikers, everybody else go out there and recreate. But I guess on the end of the day, none of that falls under the provision of the Utah Division of Wildlife. And I mean, shed hunting, I guess after April 30th, I mean, the sheds will still be there, right? It's not like these Chinese balloons are going to come and pick them up off the ground.
The smaller animals eat on them, though.
Really? I guess that's true.
So if you're going out to shed hunt to sell them, I guess it would devalue them, really, if something's chewed on them, eat on them a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I never thought of that in that aspect of it. Interesting. I never really would think of like a shed hunting like as a season, but like the more I research it, like states do have shed hunting seasons. You know, it's quite interesting out there. Also, it's going to be, I mean, what if you're just like, what constitutes shed hunting? I mean, if you're hiking
and you find one, I guess.
Exactly.
Can you pick it up?
Yeah. That's kind of what I was wondering. Like, if I'm just hiking or skiing or whatever you do in the snow, snowmobiling or whatnot, you see a shed, I guess you have to, like, leave it there?
And you pick it up, they arrest you?
Yeah. But, yeah, or you get, like, a... They haven't really said what the punishment is for this either. So, I mean,
farmers going through the field and they pick them up on the tires of the tractors and all, is it? You got to leave them in? What's the deal?
Yeah. It's very interesting. And, I mean, shed hunting, really the only animal that they are sighting, they're like, as they said, like, to date, they fear the extreme weather, winter conditions impact mule deer survival rates, even some adult deer, according to the agencies. But, like, you have moose, you have elk, and all that other stuff. I mean, mule deer typically aren't where moose are at. I guess during the wintertime, probably they are a little bit, but not as much. It's interesting, to say the least. It'll be interesting to see how it goes from now on. I mean, I bet you now there will be a shed hunting season in Utah. It's the beginning of it.
Then you got to buy a tag or a license to do it. So
it's another way to generate revenue at the end of the day. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. Well, last couple weeks ago, we talked about the Grizzly Bears, how they want to delist them as well, you know. Well, it looks like Idaho has now got into mix with Montana, and Idaho is going to sue the federal government over the status of the Grizzly Bears. They want them to be delisted as well. This is a really common theme now that you see in Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana, like the Grizzly Bears are overrunning, not overrunning, but they're now at a manageable level. Idaho says that there's about 60,000 grizzly bears in Canada and Alaska, which means they shouldn't be considered endangered with that, which I agree. If there's that many, I think it comes down to just the area they're in. But I mean, the heat map of Idaho, like obviously the grizzly bears are being successful enough that they want to take some grizzly bears and start planting them in northern Washington, you know. So, I have a feeling now that the states are actually getting involved in this and it's not just hunting groups kind of suing and stuff like that to delist them, that there will be some relay or something happening now. It's also going to be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a grizzly hunt, bear hunt in any of these states in the next 2 or 3 years, but I think eventually there will be. And the question will be, is the grizzly bear hunt going to be open to, like, us? Or is it going to go to, like, an auction tag, which, you know, get quite expensive? Because the mule deer auction tag here in Arizona, last weekend, sold for, guess how much? Whatever your guess is, double it, I'm sure.
I was going 150,000, so 300,000.
As I said, double it, $725,000.
God, that's $750,000.
Yeah, to go mule deer hunting.
That's a tax write-off, isn't it?
Yep. After the tag's value, it's considered a tax write-off. After, it is a tax write-off, but still, I mean, the way groceries are going, might be cheaper to buy that tag.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, you can only write off a certain amount of your taxes. Not like you can just take like 500 grand to write it off, you know. Or else the government would be like, especially when it comes to hunting, you know. That's where it's different. The government's not as friendly to hunting, you know. They're like, what? You wrote off that because of hunting? We're not going to consider that a write-off. It is interesting. Lots of money. As we said, hunting's starting to get more and more expensive. But I guess, you know, as we've talked about in the past with these, like, the funding's not coming from us for these animals. Like, it is, but, like, $30,000, $40,000 hunters probably generate out-of-state hunters for each state, you know, at the bare minimum per species. So if you times that by, you know, hunters are probably bringing in $500,000 to $1 million in revenue for just tags. I'm not talking about like the Pittman Robinson Act or any of that stuff, just for tags alone. So like this one tag is, you know, probably be just as much hunters would spend on tags and licensing fees in the state. So I mean, it does, at least it goes to good, you know. That's what I'm going to tell myself.
Yeah, it makes you feel better, keep telling yourself that.
Yeah. Keep telling myself that, you know. Speaking of that, we do have some draw deadlines coming up. We have, in the next 2 weeks, Utah Mountain Lions coming up on February 22nd. Wyoming Sheep, Goats, and Moose. So, Mounted Goat, Bighorn Sheep, and Moose is on February 28th. But remember that they do a 90-10 split now in Wyoming, so 90% of the tags are going to residents. But, I mean, you still have a shot. And then in on March 22nd. So we got ways. So you'll hear about this one again. We have the New Mexico draw deadline. New Mexico is actually interesting. You know, New Mexico, you hunt ibexen and oryx free range.
New Mexico.
Yeah. So yeah, they have free ranging ibex and oryx there. And also, I found they have tar in one area, but that's over the counter. And they have audat. And you can hunt all those in New Mexico. You do have to put in for certain audat units or Barbary sheep. And then you have to also put in for all oryx and ibex. That's a tongue twister. All that there ahead of time. New Mexico is one of those fun little states where they charge your card up front and then refund you the money. So if you're out of state and you're putting in for all those species, you'll have $7,500 sitting on your card. And then we don't get drawn, they refund it. If you get drawn, well, they only refund part of it, and you get drawn for all of them. You're going to have some good cash back. Hopefully you have one of those good cash back cards that give you lots.
That's what I was just sitting here thinking about. You know, how long do they hold the money for?
Till the draw.
Is it enough for them to get the cash back?
Well, but if till the draw happens, but I mean, the funny thing is they take the cash back. When do they refund it? Right. So you got to spend that cash back quick before they can pull it from you. Use your cash back on like this nice flannel if you're watching online, or if you're not. It's a nice Go Muskox flannel. Very warm, very comfortable. Use code DEL SW Outdoors. You get $25 off. It's worth it. Keeps you nice and warm this winter and spring. Maybe not in the summertime. But then you'll be ready for next winter. And I look like a lumberjack. If you see me online, you'll see how good I look. I'm putting Dustin to shame right now.
Need to work on the beard a little more, though.
Yeah. Hey, as I say, it's like this, putting this flannel on is like putting lipstick on a pig.
I wasn't going to go there, but okay.
I can at least self-criticism, though. I'm still kicking myself. I didn't win that bid for the state mule deer tag in Arizona. You know, I really thought at $10 I had a shot. Oh, Lord. Yeah, and then pretty crazy. I mean, speaking of big paydays, I'm going to call it a big payday, but I mean, that gar that was caught out in Alabama, that was a pretty damn big gar, wouldn't you say?
It was new Alabama state record alligator gar.
Yeah. How big was it again?
Weighed in at 162 pounds and almost 7 foot.
That is a damn big fish.
It was a guy and his son that went fishing like a tradition during the holidays and was about to head home and threw out his chatterbait and the thing smacked it. And started reeling fast, but he thought he didn't have anything because the line went slack. The thing comes floating up by the boat. So he ended up fighting it for like 30 minutes.
Jeez.
Before it even surfaced and realized what it was.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Because what are they fishing for? First of all, that the test line on that rock, that line can hold something that big. So like, I think most gar fishing for alligator gar, if I'm correct, is done through archery fishing.
Correct.
I wonder what they were fishing for that they had that strong a test line.
I'm looking through my notes.
They weren't fishing for sunfish. That's ridiculous.
It was like a drumfish or a redfish or something like that. I remember reading it. I didn't write it down.
Oh, okay. So they were out in the – they're fishing for ocean fish. Oh, right here. I found it. So they snagged several redfish and a largemouth bass. But still, redfish I don't think aren't as big as a gar. I don't know.
That's not that big.
Yeah, that sounds like a workout.
The one Adam caught, he got lucky because when it rolled the line around its bill.
Oh, really?
It couldn't cut the line. So I don't know if they had like a steel leader on it or I don't know.
Yes, yeah. That's awesome. That's true. I mean,
they kept it. They said they were going to cook it.
I heard Garza pretty dang good. I don't know.
We had
him. Did you like it? Tastes like chicken?
I'm not a fish person, but it was not bad.
That's good.
I had talked to the Epic Chef over there. You can see his blogs on headlineoutdoors.com. He said put it in some kind of citrus and just let it marinate for a little while and then fry it. I put it in orange juice because that was all I had at the time. Salt and pepper and a little garlic, fried it up. It was pretty good.
Oh, that's good. Huh. One of those things you have to try. I think there's Gate Gar in Texas. I might have to go fish for someone and move there. See what I can do.
Probably filled his freezer up too.
Yeah. Yeah, especially down in Alabama. Between that and deer season, getting your deer meat confused with gar meat. Oh, Lord. And we will be right back from a quick word from our sponsors over at PurePro. And we're going to be talking now after this about something pretty, the attack on hunting, something pretty big that's coming out of Facebook and something that we've been noticing. As you said, we'll be right back from word from PurePro. Whether you're hunting, fishing, scouting, sitting down for long periods of time just really takes it out of you. Your back is sore, your body is sore. You're going to have to leave your tree stand or blind early just because you are not comfortable. Well, let's change that with PurePro. PurePro is making an avid hunter, outdoor enthusiast, some most comfortable products out there in the market. You can be able to sit for long periods of times and not have a sore back or body. Made right here in the USA. Get your PurePro products today at www.purepro.com. That is www.pur-pro.com today. As we said, PurePro, as always, comfiest cushion out there when you're hunting, fishing.
Or fishing, yeah.
Or just heck, I use that my daughter's cheer competition on those stadium bleachers. So, you know, it works every way. It's a multi-use. Yeah, PurePro, definitely the way to go. Yeah, CWD's out in Virginia now, eh?
It's North Carolina.
North Carolina?
Yeah, they got a detected in Cumberland County. That's 9 miles east of Fayetteville. It's the first case outside of the current surveillance area.
Interesting. It's spreading. It's one of those gnarly diseases. I've never seen a deer. I don't think we have it, knock on wood, out here in Arizona yet. They've done a really good job like managing it. But hopefully it stays that way. I've not heard too good things about it.
A couple cases here in Virginia that are just in certain counties. That's one of the reasons where their bait laws, all your bait, all your salt blocks, all that stuff have to be up by September 1st here. So they're coming in to I talked to a game warden about it, and he was saying that, yeah, they didn't want the deer to come in and have contact with each other. It's like you realize they do that on their own, right?
Yeah. Ooh. Anything to make sense, right? Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah, so we'll definitely monitor that there. Well, so we alluded before PurePro. Facebook's after us. We've always known it. I think it was relevant to what happened last week on Twitter, where a Montana congressman posted a picture of a pronghorn he harvested and a guy's account suspended. But Musk did the right thing and reinstated his account right away and said, you know, they're going to revamp their policy for stuff like that. Doesn't happen. It was just cool to actually see a tech person take a stand against, like, you know, the discrimination against hunters. See those fancy words I'm using? I'm learning. But discrimination against hunters goes worse when it comes to Facebook. which owns Instagram, WhatsApp, and a bunch of other things that we use on day to day. And we'll see. Maybe this video will get pulled down off of YouTube and this page will get suspended. Our Instagram and Facebook account will get suspended. We debated talking about this at the beginning of the show, but we said, let's full send it because we think it's something important to talk about. If you recall, October, we lost our first Facebook account. So he said my account, my personal account violated rules and all that, which was right after, coincidentally, I posted pictures on my elk hunt with my dad, or my dad's elk hunt. All that happened. It's growing to become a trend now that we've seen throughout numerous hunting pages of where they're saying that hunters are posting explicit photos and
children
of children and going against the Facebook's violations and the rules, where every hunter that's been accused of this, I mean, has denied it. I mean, I believe them. It's becoming a trend where it's infiltrating whole groups. This is happening to.
When I got popped right before Christmas, it was three violations, and I'm like, what did I post? And it's like child porn is what they were saying. It's like, I've never posted anything like that. And then the more and more I talked to people in the hunting community, it was 200 people out of one hunting group that was blocked for the same thing for a certain amount of time. And it's, what's going on?
Yeah. And of course, Facebook, I've actually reached out to about this, and I just get their little automated messages. I've never heard a response back from them. It's interesting that they're accusing a whole community of something so egregious, and they're using that as a way to shut down people's pages. It goes back to it's just another blatant attack on the hunting community, but it goes back to, what are we going to do about it? There's nothing we can. If we want to use Facebook, I always suggest people use Go Wild, which I'll post a link to that site as well. Today or within the posts and all that of this and on the Facebook and all that, because this is going to be nonstop attacks. And, and when you think of it on a smaller scale, you probably think, oh, I just got hacked, but then when you start looking at a larger scale, it just becomes more prevalent to what's happening. And it's interesting that it always goes back to Facebook, but it always goes back to the groups that people don't necessarily agree with. And they're, no matter what, like, hunting's under attack from state levels, every level of hunting's under attack. And they're just going to take it to another level online. It's crazy. If you've been impacted or had something similar happen, you reach out to us, because we'd love to, compile stories and kind of start putting stuff together.
Yeah, maybe get, an actual account. Because, it's pretty much, if you're into conspiracy theories, you can go back, and that's like the government's number one thing is, your reputation. If you start coming out with, facts and all, they're just, does child porn. Yeah. Don't pay no attention to him. And it's just crushing your reputation.
Yeah. And Facebook's hoping that you're just going to accept it as a hack. You can't just hack 200 people. One group isn't going to coincidentally all have the same issue
at the same time.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So if you've heard that for what Facebook is doing or done to you, if you've fallen victim to it, let us know. We'd love to just, start compiling stuff, have you guys on and tell your stories. I think it'd be one of those things that sometimes you just got to take it all on at the head and see what happens. As we always say, we do keep our videos posted also on Rumble. So instead of if they take us off YouTube, you can always go to Rumble. You know what Rumble is? You're looking at me like.
No.
So Rumble is the free speech version of YouTube. So it's made by conservatives and all that. So it's where when everybody gets censored and kicked off of YouTube, they go over to Rumble. So okay. Yeah, we do have our videos up on Rumble as well. So come on, listen to us. We're all over the place. You always find us. You know? Thank you guys very much for listening to us here at D&D Outdoors. We appreciate it. Come find us on Facebook and Instagram, of course, because that's the only way you can get acquainted with us as right now. And yeah, thank you all for listening to us. Hope you all have a great rest of your day and you're preparing to work. It will be over soon. Fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays.